Welcome to the College Baseball Nation podcast. My name is John Peters, and I'm here with Kyle McKelvey. This week, we're talking about games that happened last weekend, recapping our top 50, and picking winners for next weekend's games. Let's talk college baseball. Kyle, how's it going?
Doing well. I survived the great snowpocalypse of Texas, the only one that we get every 3 years.
Yeah, you guys are now natural disaster season veterans there, hurricanes and snowstorms coming at you.
Well, we used our hurricane prep to survive the no power, no water for a few days. That was kind of nice.
Well, glad you made it through. And me hopefully too. This weekend's games were something to bring a smile to your face, because it was a pretty awesome opening weekend in college baseball.
Yeah, it was very nice. It was up to 70 degrees on Sunday in Houston, Saturday and Sunday in Houston. So I sat outside and watched some games on my phone.
Yeah, it wasn't looking good for some of those series in the South, but hats off to grounds crew for getting fields prepped and ready to go. There was a lot of pictures of fields covered in snow, and then 24 hours later, baseball being played on them.
Yeah, that was crazy. Those ground crews do a lot of work. I watched some of those videos, and they're crazy.
Yeah. So, full disclosure, I might be a little distracted while recording this because I have an eye on a bunch of midweek games that are happening right now. So, literally just moments ago, East Carolina took down Duke. That was a top 15 matchup now that we've released our new rankings. So 6-1, East Carolina takes it to Duke. We have Wake Forest and Coastal going at it. A whole bunch of midweek games happening right now. So definitely keeping an eye on all of those.
Yeah, Coastal has a runner on first, 1-1 in the bottom of the ninth. Sorry, Wake has a runner on first, 1-1 bottom of the ninth. So that's a really important game, because we saw Coastal do pretty well this weekend for themselves. Wake is a team that we really like. So
yeah, so far Coastal's games all around. This is their fourth game of the year and their fourth game against an ACC opponent. So
ranked ACC opponents.
All right, speaking of rankings though, let's dive in. So we have a brand new top 50 brought to you by Press Sports, and a whole lot of movement in this ranking. So I think we tend to be a little bit more results driven, a little aggressive with how we move teams around. And especially because we're early in the season and there were some really big series and games that happened, we definitely shuffled teams around a lot. So they finished the 2020 season at number one. And after moving to number five in our preseason poll, Ole Miss is back at number one, followed by SEC West Companion, number two, Arkansas, and then third, Vanderbilt. So three in a row right there, SEC teams. Fourth, Louisville, fifth, Miami, sixth, Mississippi State, seven, Florida, eight, Virginia, nine, LSU. So if you're keeping track, the top nine are all from the ACC and SEC. And once you get to 10, number TCU, we have our first Big 12 team. And I'll give you a bonus one, UCLA number 11 is our highest ranked Pac-12 team. Also, some notable movements. So Miami at number five moved up 17 spots after their weekend series win at Florida. We have a few teams entering the poll for the first time ever, and that includes number 24, San Francisco, who took 2 out of 3 at UCLA. We also have Louisiana jumping in at number 31, taking 2 out of 3 at Tulane. And that was really under the radar, great series, I think. At least two of those games, not all three, went extra innings. And yeah, really, really tight game, tight games there.
That was my favorite series of the weekend.
Yeah, it was a highly entertaining series.
Yeah, in-state rivals, back and forth. Like, it was really fun.
Yeah, and I mean, just a quick comment there. Louisiana's, I think, big question mark was, can they get it done offensively? And they were able to slug some. And take it to Tulane's pitching. So hats off to Louisiana at number 31, well-deserved, Raging Cajuns. We also have number 35, Florida Atlantic, entering the top 50 for the first time. Number 40, Grand Canyon, took 3 out of 4 against Missouri. And number 48, Ball State, who split a four-game series at Arizona. So that's the top 10 and notable entrants. Kyle, who else stands out to you in the top 50?
Standing out in kind of a negative way was Arizona moving down, like you said. We were impressed with him coming into the season, but they have some growing to do, I guess. They split the series at home against Ball State. Could say more again about how good Ball State is, but the two pretty good teams that we have kind of converging. Right after that is Arizona State moving up a little bit, going 2-1 against Sac State. I don't know if there's any other big movers that I really wanted to talk about. Alabama moved up 6 spots after sweeping one of the better teams, McNeese, in the Southland, I think, or Southern Southland, in the Southland Conference. So that's impressive. They're on somewhat of a win streak from including last season. Alabama is, so that's a team to look out for as the SEC West SEC play starts here in a few weeks. Have a chance to move up a lot, like noting some other SEC teams that didn't have so good of a week, such as A&M dropping out of the top 50. And yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, speaking of win streaks, Ole Miss now extends their win streak to 19 games, obviously dating back to last year. They started last season off 0-1, won 16 straight, and I definitely thought that win streak was in jeopardy this weekend, playing 3 top 12 Big 12 schools, but 3-0 weekend extends the win streak to 19. So speaking of now, let's break down. So last week we did our first weekly pick'em, and let's take a look back at how we did with some of those series. So, I mean, let's rip the Band-Aid off. Kyle, congratulations. You won week one.
Thank you. I'll take my prize.
I think my biggest whiff was I picked the Big 12 to win the college baseball showdown. I had them going 5-4, and they just nearly got swept. 8-1 was the final record there with the SEC. I think so. We picked Miami to lose to Florida. Miami came out winning that series. I had UVA sweeping UConn. You had 2 out of 3. You got that one right. I had San Diego over San Diego State. You had the opposite, and you got that one right. I had Duke over Coastal. You had the opposite, and I was right on that one. So
let's have one.
Yeah, thanks. How kind of you. So let's go back. Let's start with the former number one team, Florida. So Miami won that series 2 out of 3. I think both of us, I mean, we kind of tipped our cap to Miami there, thinking that they would get a game, but they ended up winning that series 2-1. And they did it basically how you thought they would. Their bats came alive when they needed. They had some pretty big rallies, including on Saturday, where they twice came back from down 5 runs to ultimately win that game. And that was after losing Friday. So like really easily, Miami could have lost that series on Saturday. And, you know, we would be talking about things very differently. So Miami slugs their way a little bit to a series victory there.
An underrated storyline with Miami on Friday, even in a loss, they only used 2 pitchers. Their starter went 4 1/3, and their long relief guy went 3 2/3. I think that math adds up. So they saved a lot of their bullpen arms for the weekend, which they really needed for the Saturday and Sunday, which they really needed because Saturday's game went to 13 innings. They used a lot of pitchers in that one, so that kind of helped save them. Like you're going to need to save some bullpen guys going forward here, as teams will learn.
Yeah, the value of that long reliever and a lost cause can be a pretty useful thing. So, I mean, hats off to Miami. That's why they moved up 17 spots for us. Not only did they win at the against the number one team, but they did it at Florida's brand new ballpark. They won that series for the first time since 2014. They, you know, got the monkey off the back there. And I mean, it feels like the sky's the limit for this young Miami team. to be honest, I think they still might have some growing pains. They have two freshmen in their weekend rotation, and it's going to be that deeper bullpen, I think, that will help keep them in some series. But, I mean, what's not to like about winning a series at number one to open the year?
In their brand-new ballpark, too. Yep. Spoil the home debut.
Yeah. So let's move on now to the college baseball showdown. So, I mean, the big news there to start off with was it just wasn't clear it was going to happen. With all the terrible weather in DFW, the tournament decided to push it back one day. And I think that ended up being the right decision. All the teams were able to get there safely and compete at a pretty high level. I think across the board, there were a lot of competitive games at the college baseball showdown, a couple one-run games on Sunday, day two there, and just a lot of good baseball being played. The obvious storylines are that Ole Miss and Arkansas both went 3-0, and that's why they're number one and number two in our poll. And Mississippi State missing their two of their weekend starters and a handful of arms still went 2-1. So, I mean, SEC came to play and dominated that tournament.
And they kind of did it the way we expected. I remember talking last week, what we wanted to see, or the matchup we wanted to see was the SEC bats versus the Big 12 arms. And SEC bats won. The double digits scored in a lot of those games, and just a lot of offense otherwise, a lot of runners on base. And yeah, the pitching from the Big 12 was a little disappointing. We were really surprised to see Texas Tech on Saturday, the first game. It had 11 walks, 6 wild pitches, 1 balk, 1 hit by pitch, and a partridge in a pear tree. That's 20 free bases just in one game. You can't do that if you want to win these Omaha series and postseason series. And then they had 10 more walks the next 2 days and 4 more wild pitches. So, yeah, it's a lot of free bases, and they only had 28 strikeouts to go with it. So that strikeout to walk ratio is not what you want to see.
Yeah, especially the Texas Tech's bullpen looked pretty sloppy, and to go with that, their defense was pretty sloppy too.
Yeah, 5 errors.
It just didn't look like Texas Tech came ready to play, and. You know, I have a feeling Tim Tadlock will get them in better shape, and we let them in our top 15. I don't think they're a bad team, but they clearly were not ready for the level of competition that they got this weekend.
Yeah, I think they'll still be a good team. We might touch on this with Texas here in a minute, but I think they'll still be a really good team and win some series, be good enough to win series in the Big 12, but maybe not as much of an Omaha team as we had predicted from the beginning.
Yeah, and as a reminder now, they're missing what Tim Tadlock is calling basically would have been their Friday night starter, Hunter Dobbins. He's out for the year with a UCL injury. So the bullpen didn't look great, and they're going to be leaning on the bullpen a little bit more. So they'll have to step up as the season continues. But let's talk about Texas, because I think that was a big storyline too. Heading into the year, the question marks you had around Texas were probably with their offense. Even when they were off to a pretty solid start in 2020, it was their offense that let them down. And, you know, with Ty Madden on Friday nights and a good amount of depth in the bullpen, you feel okay about Texas's pitching, but the offense was where the question marks were. And those question marks were, you know, circled with red marker and starred a few times because the offense looked pretty abysmal at the college baseball showdown.
Oh, I just felt a huge breeze from all the whiffing that they were doing, the strikeouts. They had 46 strikeouts and 97 at bats. That's really not a good.
That's
really good.
So bad.
Yeah. That's almost 50%. That is not good. Yeah. And then they only had 2 hits in their shutout on Sunday against Arkansas. Saturday, they were okay the first game. They had 2 doubles and a home run, some good timely hits. But, yeah, 2 hits and a shutout is not what you want to see against this good competition, especially a former conference foe, Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah, likewise, Texas, I don't think, seemed to be in game competition yet, at least their offense. I don't know what your thoughts are here. I think Texas's offense will be better than they were this weekend. One, I think the staffs they faced were some of the best pitching staffs in the country. And obviously, to be successful long-term, they're going to have to be able to score runs on those staffs. But for the most part, that's not who they're going to get on a given weekend. And for instance, they play BYU this coming weekend, and I have a feeling Texas will hit a little bit better against BYU than they did against those three SEC teams. But also, I think they do have a few bats in there. Austin Todd, Antigo, the St. John's transfer, who are better than what they did this weekend. And I have a feeling that there'll be a little bit of a regression to the mean, and Texas will hit better. But I mean, if they don't, I don't think this is going to be quite the like 2019 season fall apart where they ended up last in the Big 12. But the ceiling could really come crashing down on them if their bats can't get a little bit hotter.
Yeah, they could be a team that's good enough to be top three in the Big 12, but then fall apart in postseason play, like host a regional and fall apart in postseason play. Like that's something that we could see just because they haven't seen that good competition. I mean, we know we do like the Big 12 this year, but the weekend rotations of the team, of the bottom tier teams aren't as good as the rotations of the bottom tier teams in DC. So they face the top ones, and so that's what you're going to expect to see in the postseason. So yeah, I think they probably won't go as far as we had projected them to this year, but yeah, offense is still, yeah, like you said, it's still good. It's still fine. Like it should be better than it was. But is that more because of the quality of pitching they're facing? Well, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and you say we like the Big 12, but we'll touch on that later. I think I like the Big 12 a little bit less after this weekend than I did at the beginning of the year. But let's move on. So we have a few more series to cover. UConn at UVA. And I ended up watching a good amount of that Friday night game. And it was really competitive. So Kasperius from UConn went head-to-head with Andrew Abbott of UVA. Abbott was a bullpen guy for his whole career at UVA, and his transition to a starting role, the Friday role, was really seamless. He looked really good. And that was a pitcher's duel. Really deep in that game that UVA was able to scrape out. UConn got the second game in that one, and then UVA won the rubber match. I came out of that series thinking more highly of both teams. And UVA, we moved up a couple spots in our rankings. And to be honest, that's really more of a product of so many teams ahead of them doing terribly, like Texas Tech and UCLA and the likes. So they got a little bit of a benefit from that. But now they're in our top eight, and I think this is the type of team that could end up hosting a regional and a super regional. And UConn even snuck up two or three spots in our rankings after a really solid road performance where they got one out of three on the road at UVA. So, I mean, I don't want to overhype losing a series because, I mean, they still lost the series. But I think in my mind, I respect this UConn team even more than I did heading into the series.
Yeah, I agree. I think they did about what I expected because I predicted that series. Shout out. But they did compete in Friday a little bit less on Sunday, but it's still a two-run game. That's not that much of a blowout or anything. So yeah, they had constant pressure against the pitchers of UVA, and they had runners on base constantly. So they're a pretty solid team. They're probably going to be like a more defined regional team. I think they'll easily win their conference is our guess and make the tournament.
Yeah. I really like that UVA lineup too. I mean, watching, they have an 8-9 right now in their lineup. I was just watching their midweek game that they have going on right now against VMI, and they have Newell and Cotier at 8-9, and Newell is a preseason All-American. Cotier is one of the best sophomores in college baseball, and those are their 8-9 guys. I mean, that the offense at Virginia is so deep, 1-9. Anyone can beat you on that offense. So I've hyped Virginia up for the last few weeks, and I'm still on the Virginia hype train. So let's now hop down to the West Coast. So we had A little bit of a tough one with Mountain West favorite San Diego State heading, facing off against San Diego. They did two games at San Diego State, one game at San Diego. And you know what, when you think of West Coast baseball, I think you generally think of low scoring games, pitching first. And that was not at all what happened in this series. So game two, final score to San Diego State was 19-18. And one of the most absurd wild games of the weekend, San Diego State ends up winning 2 out of 3. I thought it was a little bit of a head scratcher in terms of, I thought the arms were going to be a little bit better in this series, but hats off to San Diego State winning this one. It's a nice series win for the Mountain West. I was thinking that San Diego was a top two type team in the West Coast Conference, potentially could get an at-large bid. And I think this was a series that you really would like to have in terms of building an at-large resume. So I think that hurts the West Coast chances a little bit of getting an at-large bid, but they did have a couple other successful weekend series around the country. Kyle, what are your thoughts here? I mean, you picked San Diego State to win this, so you saw something I didn't.
My thing that I saw was a guess, but I do like San Diego State's team. They're apparently really offensive. They scored 19 runs in one game. It's hard to do. Did that go to extras at all? Was that all 9 innings?
I think that one did go into extras, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, yeah, either way, San Diego State won both of those games at home. Still not that far apart, but still it's nice to have those home games. So, yeah, I think this will bode well for San Diego State in the Mountain West, be determined, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's so hard to keep some of these West Coast
yes.
U.S. conferences straight, but I think we got it there. And then the last series we did for our pick'em last week was Duke at Coastal Carolina. This was a little bit maybe of an under-the-radar series with Miami, Florida, and the College Baseball Showdown going on, but this was a really good series. I think Duke's big storylines was they lost their Friday night guy from last year, Bryce Jarvis. They lost a midweek guy. They lost their closer. A lot of pitching to replace and a lot of question marks about bullpen depth. Coastal has a pretty strong offense heading into the year. They have Parker Chavers, who's a potential All-American type. And really all of those storylines played out. And the second game there, Duke had a lead after a 4-run top of the 9th inning and then gave up 5 runs in the bottom of the 9th to lose it, including a walk-off grand slam by Parker Chavers. And then the Duke bullpen almost lost the third game where they had a 10-8 lead heading into the 9th, gave up a run. Coastal got the tying run on base, but Duke was able to close it out. So this was a little of a nail biter. Duke comes away, though, with 2 wins on the road at Coastal. So that's a pretty good series to start the year for Duke.
Yeah, speaking of that Coastal team, it's still 1-1 in the top of the 10th against Wake Forest, at Wake Forest. So it's a really good team that we'd like to be really competitive against their local ACC teams. It's nice to see for Coastal.
Next up, let's talk about just some notes from the last week. So what are some things that stood out to you, Kyle? You know what, I'll go first. I want to say one thing that stood out to me was UCLA losing a series. So we had them as number 2 team in the country, and they have a bunch of guys to like for the draft. Matt McClain at shortstop. They have a host of pitchers that just feel like they really should have the best staff on the West Coast. And they lost 2 out of 3 at home to San Francisco. So just a few thoughts around that. I think maybe the average baseball fan doesn't know that San Francisco is at least a pretty good team on the West Coast. So they were 125 in the RPI 2 years ago. So I don't know quite who to compare them to, maybe in the South, but they're not a total scrub of a team. So there are worse weekend series to have lost. But at the same time, this is for sure a series UCLA should have won. They were without their Friday night starter, Zach Pettway, who I don't know if it's an injury or if he's just behind, but it looks like he's not going to get a start for the first week or two of the season. He's sort of still getting on pace in terms of ramping up the arm. Hopefully that doesn't turn into a bigger story, because he's one of the just most entertaining pitchers to watch in the country. Doesn't necessarily have the same stuff as some of the other guys. Maybe touching low 90s on his fastball, but he just has pinpoint placement and good secondary stuff. So he was out for this series, which was another blow for UCLA. But that one was a little bit of a head scratcher. It really felt like UCLA was by far in a way the best team on the West Coast, and they lose a weekend series at home.
You know, like that, I thought that, I mean, that was very surprising, obviously, but they lost their Friday night guy and they lost the Friday night game. Their Friday night starter didn't pitch very well, but the Saturday and the Sunday starters actually pitched a pretty clean game. The bullpen kind of fell apart on Sunday, but they won the Saturday game. So I think that, I mean, that is fine for the season. If they can get Zach Pettway back, they can have a better chance at winning those Friday games. But Sunday was a little bit shocking, giving up four runs, only one of them earned in the later innings. So bullpen fell apart a little bit there.
Yeah, and the defense too. And that's a defense that I think should end up being one of the best defenses in the country. And then, yeah, Mora, their star closer, I think, got scuffed up a little bit too. So not the weekend that UCLA wanted, but they'll have their chances in the rest of the year.
And my turn?
Go for A&M.
It. All right, A&M. Lost their series at home against Xavier, their
worst series to have lost.
Yeah, their first, it's A&M's first home series loss, like losing two games to start off the year since 1996, which is, it's pretty surprising. I'm sure usual maybe teams that you're supposed to beat those, but like they have, A&M's been in some of these early season tournaments the first week of the year, so they've been pretty consistent over the last 25 years. About as long as our lives. But Saturday doubleheader, Friday game was pushed to a Saturday doubleheader because of weather in the College Station area. But Saturday just didn't look good. Pitching was erratic. They got shut out in game two. But, I mean, I don't know. The pitching in the game two was fine. They only let up one swing was what lost them the game. It was a two-run homer, and then they just couldn't get any offense. But I was watching that game, and they had runners on base throughout the game, and they just couldn't push them across. That what has plagued A&M in the past, like before Chad Kaye got there, was leaving runners on base and hitting with runners in scoring position, and that is something that they can continue to struggle again with. But I don't feel as worried about A&M as I would have if they had a close game on Sunday. That sentence makes sense. If they didn't blow out Xavier and shut them out on Sunday, they ended up winning 15-0. If that game didn't happen as it happened, I would feel a lot more worried. But their offense is there. I think it was just the balls were finding the gloves on Saturday, the game two, and they were finding the holes on Sunday. So stuff like that happens. It's baseball. But you'd like to see a little bit more consistency out of Bryce Miller on Sunday. I think he was pulled after 3 2/3. And they ended up giving up 10 runs total. So a little bit worrisome for A&M. You kind of need that starter to like take you the distance in the SEC, especially going up against the other premier Friday night guys. But not as worrisome, I think, since they blew out Xavier on Sunday, I think, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Bryce Miller is no Ace Alacy, and right now looking around the SEC West, he's probably the worst Friday night guy in the SEC West. And
probably,
I think that kind of puts you behind the eight ball in SEC series, unless the bats really show up, because they got hit in that second game, I think. Like I have some worries about A&M, and I think I led the charge on knocking them out of our top 50.
Yeah, they're like right on the edge, and we might have like been pretty reactive to that, but we don't have a whole lot to go on. they started off the season last year pretty well, pretty offensively, pretty well, but then kind of fell apart in that Frisco Classic that they were in. So if this is more of that, then yeah, I agree. We have stuff to be worried about for A&M, but I think I don't think they'll be as bad as they were this past weekend going forward.
All right. Well, I next want to talk about Florida Atlantic, who they did another one of those two games at Florida Atlantic, one game at UCF series, and Florida Atlantic took 2 out of 3 against the UCF. We had UCF ranked in our top 25, and they were one of the best stories from the 2020 season. UCF last year went on the road and beat Auburn in 3 games, swept them. UCF pitching just wasn't up for the task against Florida Atlantic. And as a result, Florida Atlantic jumps into our top 50, number 35, and notches a nice series win for Conference USA.
Yeah, really nice series. We like both of those teams. I think we had UCF in our top 50. FAU kind of took their spot, jumping into the top 25, top 50, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. And UCF is going to get tested next week as they go on the road to Ole Miss, which we might touch on that later. But no time off, no weekends off now for UCF. They got to get right back on the horse.
Yeah, they needed this one this past weekend.
What do you got next, Kyle?
I thought you were going to talk about the Big 12.
All right, so last weekend, we've talked about it already. The Big 12 had their struggles at the College Baseball Showdown, but not only did they have issues at the College Baseball Showdown, they just didn't have a great weekend all around. So on Saturday, the Big 12 went 0-7, and right now they're sitting at 11-16 as a conference. Compare that to the SEC at 31-10, or the ACC at 33-8, or the SoCon at 17-6. That one's kind of fun. The Big 12 had a weekend to forget. They did have maybe a slight glimmer of hope as Jordan Wicks outdueled Oregon State's Kevin Abel, and Kansas State got a win there and went 2-2 and surprised Arizona. But West Virginia split a series at Georgia State. Baylor lost a series to UT Rio Grande Valley. And all in all, the Big 12 did not look particularly strong over the weekend. I mean, we've touched upon it some. They really did have a tough strength of schedule, at least at the College Baseball Showdown. But from a team that, from a conference where we had 8 of their 9 teams ranked in the preseason, wasn't a good look.
Yeah, we might have to adjust that a little bit. One of those teams, West Virginia, was playing a 4-game series at Georgia State this weekend and did not have a good game in one of those Saturday games. They gave up 11 runs in the first inning to Georgia State. There was a 2-run homer, a 2-RBI double, another 2-RBI double, bases loaded walk, bases loaded hit by pitch, couple singles. It's just all around kind of a messy inning. They almost actually hit for the cycle in that one inning as a team. Just needed a triple in there to complete that. But yeah, I think they kind of scrapped that game. They gave up another 9 more runs throughout that game and ended up splitting the series, I believe.
Yep, they lost 2 games on the road at Georgia State, but were able to get 2 wins too.
Right. Yeah, so the team that we were kind of high on to finish not outside of the very bottom of the Big 12, but they'll be kind of now fighting for that Big 12 cul-de-sac, trying to get out of the bottom of there.
Yep, and that performance was enough to knock them out of the top 50 for us. Baylor dropped out of the top 50 after losing their series to UT Rio Grande Valley. We left Kansas State right there at 50, going 2-2 at a neutral site with a win over Oregon State. It was a pretty solid weekend. But, not a lot to take away from this weekend for the Big 12 that's positive. They'll get their chance this weekend again with some big series, some big games at the Round Rock Classic, and we'll see, you know, a few more big series down the road where UConn will play at Texas Tech. Texas is going up against South Carolina, but those other non-conference series now have a little bit more weight for the Big 12 because they have a lot of losses in non-conference already.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So there are some pretty good series this week in the Big 12, though. We have BYU going to Texas, Liberty going to TCU, kind of a under-the-radar fun series there. And Illinois State at Oklahoma State, those are some pretty important series for the Big 12 to win a lot of games in if you want to boost that conference RPI.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking at one point about Big 12 getting seven or maybe even eight teams into the postseason. Right now, I feel like six or seven feels more like an appropriate number.
Yeah, it's probably about right because non-conference is where you kind of separate yourself.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard. You don't want to overhype just a one weekend in non-conference, but just with the limited availability for some conferences like the ACC not playing as many non-conference games or the Big Ten not playing any, these games are more precious and more important. So, you know, hopefully it doesn't come back to bite the Big 12, but not their best stuff. So Absolutely. Let's move on now. It's a brand new week. We have another chance for me to win the pick'em. So let's get to it. Last week, all right, I'll start this one off. Last week we had five series to pick from, and it was basically the five series that had top 50 matchups. This week we have a few more than that. So Kyle and I are going to go back and forth picking series that we want to be included and. To start it off, Kyle, I'm going to have us pick. I'm going to have us pick UConn at Southern Miss. I know we had UConn in our pick'em last week, but this one feels like a really intriguing matchup. So who's winning this series next weekend?
Oh, I have to pick it first? That's not fair.
Hey, you said I could go first, so that means I pick it and you choose the winner.
Fine. Okay. Let's say I'm gonna say that UConn wins 2 out of 3 here. I was really impressed with UConn's last week. Southern Miss had a good week too, but I'm really impressed with UConn as a team. They're play some pretty clean baseball with limited errors and mental mistakes. I think that's gonna be key for them going on the road. And I don't want to upset UConn's Twitter as ID.
Yeah, we already ticked them off once already. See, this one's really tough. Southern Miss, they had a doubleheader Sunday, and they sort of ran out of steam in that second game. They lost, so they split the doubleheader against Northwestern State, then blanked Northwestern State on Monday, 110-0. I mean, it's a solid weekend all in all, but I hate to say it, but I think I agree with you. I'm going to pick UConn to win 2 out of 3 for this one.
All right. UConn Twitter SID, come at us.
Yeah, we need to learn that guy's name.
Yeah. My turn?
Yep.
All right, let's do this. Let's see. I want us to pick South Carolina versus Clemson. So that's one. That is a series that is going to be one at Clemson, one neutral, one at South Carolina. I'm just trying to determine the order. The Friday game is at Clemson, and then it's neutral, and then it's at South Carolina. So you pick.
This is a tough one. I really don't know. I think when I think of South Carolina, I think of young guys with a lot of upside, and they played a really outmatched Dayton team over the weekend and swept them and looked pretty good in the process. But I don't know. The level of competition that they'll get against Clemson is definitely a step up from what they got against Dayton.
Cincinnati. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Clemson swept Cincinnati. Is that right?
Yeah.
And that's a pretty respectable series sweep. Cincinnati is at least a solid team from the American. This sort of feels like a little bit more of a high upside team in South Carolina versus tried and true in Clemson. And early in the season, I'm going Clemson 2 out of 3.
All right. Yeah, similar notes. I think I like the upside of South Carolina's team. They're recruiting really well lately, and they've got some pretty high upside guys. I think on the opposite spectrum, I'm going South Carolina 2 games out of 3.
Yeah, I don't hate that pick. This one's a little bit of a coin flip for me. I think that this could be a little bit of a coming out for the South Carolina team, kind of rising up to more national prominence. I think they already are there for some athletes. They already see South Carolina as a top 25 team. We've been a little bit more hesitant on them, and this very well could be the weekend they prove us wrong.
Yeah, and I think if this game was at either location, like if it was all three at Clemson or all three at South Carolina, I would not hesitate to pick 2 out of 3 at the home team. But right now, this is much more difficult because it's 1-1-1.
Margins are a little bit slimmer, I think.
Yeah.
And something like home field advantage could tip the scale. But all right. Let's see. Next up, I'm going to go with, let's do a little bit of West Coast flair. Oregon State going to Grand Canyon. And I think officially Grand Canyon is where power conference teams go to lose. I've made that statement publicly. Like they beat three out of four. They won 3 out of 4 games against Missouri this last weekend. Last year, they took 2 out of 3 against Oklahoma State. It's just really hard to win at Grand Canyon. Some of that has to do with the weather and the way the ball flies in the desert. It's less so early on when it's a little bit cooler, but as it heats up, especially a team that's not necessarily particularly offensive like Oregon State coming into town, I see advantage Grand Canyon here.
Maybe teams will stop scheduling.
Yeah, I hope not, because it's a whole lot of fun here. I'm just checking on this one. This one is just 3 games. Is that right? Or are they doing
4? It's 4.
It's 4. Yeah. You know what then? I'm doing Grand Canyon. Has a repeat of last weekend and wins 3 out of 4. They lose the Thursday night game to Kevin Abel because he's a beast. And then they win 3 in a row and take the series.
Wow. Okay. That is bold.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go the opposite way and pick 3 out of 1, 3 for Oregon State, just to be opposite, just so we can have some opposition there.
I mean, and to be fair, Oregon State was literally just in Surprise, Arizona. Like, they were literally, like, just up the road in the desert.
Yeah, right.
They won 3 out of 4 games there, so they know what those conditions are like. They, you know, played some solid teams in Gonzaga and New Mexico.
And they scored 20 and 14 runs in those games, respectively.
Yeah. I think that might have to do something with the level of competition there. I think Grand Canyon is a bit better of a team than New Mexico. Maybe Gonzaga is solid, but you know what? I'm taking my Lopes, right? Lopes up, Grand Canyon. 3 out of 4.
GCU. That's a fair pick. I just have to be opposite so we can have some nice graphics.
Yeah, and nobody wants to pick a tie in a series. So no.
Yeah, I was going to, but I'm not as much of a coward as I am last week.
Yeah,
I was too cowardly with SEC going 5-4 only. I should have stuck to my guns and had them go up better. But yeah, I'm more cocky now. Yeah.
All right, so that's 3 series. We have 2 more left. You're up next.
Let's go with the Round Rock Classic. That is games between OU, Auburn, A&M, and Baylor. OU and Auburn are first. A&M and Baylor are the second game that day. And they just do a traditional round robin, as we've thoroughly researched.
You guys are listening to this. We've cut out 5 minutes of Kyle frantically trying to remember which team's which in the Frisco versus Round Rock Classic. But we have all sorted out.
To be fair to me, OU's in both of them playing an A team to start off. It was just all mixed up in my head.
But this one is regular old round robin, 3 games, 2 SEC, 2 Big 12. Those teams are going to have what amounts to a non-conference game against a conference opponent. So let's do it where we try to pick whoever wins the most games in this, because obviously you can have ties in tournaments like this where two teams go 2-1. But if it comes down to that, we can just use margin of victory as a tiebreaker.
Three teams could go 2-1 if the other team goes 0-3.
Very true. That's why you're the math major.
Yeah. But still, margin of victory will be the
tiebreaker. Yeah. And if there's multiple teams with the same margin of victory, we'll just go to number of blocks.
Okay. I like that.
And then we can run down a list of tiebreakers off the air. So heading into this weekend, I mean, let's look at this. Auburn swept Presbyterian. Baylor lost to UT Rio Grande Valley. A&M lost a series to Xavier. Oklahoma went 1-1 against Omaha. I don't know. I think Auburn's my pick here. Auburn has, I would say, a legitimate shot at going 3-0 in this. But you know what? It's so many times I've thought about this. It's come back to bite us. Baylor lost a home non-conference series early last year and then went to Shriners and went 3-0. So I'm going to pick Auburn still, but if Baylor goes 3-0, I'm going to say, I'm going to say I told you so, because who knows what Baylor can do.
Yeah, I'm pretty low on Baylor this year to start off, but I'm also low on A&M. So, I think it's between Auburn and OU for me. I think your Auburn's a good pick to go 3-0. I guess we can't pick the same for this one. That would be kind of lame.
Yeah, that's the advantage I have going first.
That's true. All right, so yeah, I'll go. I'm going to go A&M here, actually. We've seen this past weekend that every team in the SEC other than every team in the Big 12, so I think it extends to this tournament, probably. Don't hold me to that.
Can we go double or nothing with this one? I feel pretty good about this pick now.
I feel good about your Auburn pick, but I can't have the same one, so that's why I'm going A&M. I think I get 2-for-1 odds, and you have 1-for-2.
All right, so that's 4 series. We need one more, and I think I'm just gonna go with a team that had a pretty good showing at the College Baseball Showdown, but not quite the level of the rest of the SEC teams. I'm going to go with Tulane heading to Mississippi State. I was going to choose UCF at Ole Miss because Ole Miss is our number one team, and that was kind of fun. But we picked UCF last week, and we already have one repeat. So let's do Tulane at Mississippi State.
I like it. Yeah, I think this is going to be a Mississippi State sweep. I think they're too good at pitching. Their offense is just electric. Tulane is a really good team. We do like them. They had a really good competitive series last weekend against Louisiana. I think being at Mississippi State for the home opener there at the Dude will be just too much for the Green Wave.
I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think that Tulane does manage to win a game in this series. So I'm going to say Mississippi State wins 2 out of 3 here. Braden Olthoff going on Friday night for Tulane will definitely give the Green Wave a chance to win that game and be competitive there. Not sure it's going to be enough to win on Friday night, but it could be. And I think Tulane wins a game. So let's run through it really quickly again there. So I had Mississippi State taking 2 out of 3 against Tulane. You had them sweeping. I have Clemson 2 out of 3 over South Carolina. You have South Carolina 2 out of 3. Round Rock Classic, I got Auburn. You have A&M. Grand Canyon hosting Oregon State. I have Grand Canyon 3 out of 4. And you have Oregon State 3 out of 4. UConn at Southern Miss. We both went UConn 2 out of 3. You know, I'm feeling pretty good about that. This is my redemption week.
I'm feeling good about it too. So we both can't be right.
Well, here's to hoping that I'm right and you're wrong.
Yeah. And vice versa.
All right. I think that's all we have this week. So thanks again for joining me, Kyle.
Of course.
And let's get one last update on that Coastal Carolina Wake Forest game.
Top of the 11th, two outs, bases loaded for Coastal. And still nothing going. I don't know if you know if I can watch this game live. That'd be really cool. Let's see.
So we're going to leave this with a little bit of a cliffhanger then. Coastal and Wake Forest still gone. You're going to have some homework to do. Go find out who won that game.
Dale Thomas is up to bat.
Or we could turn the rest of this podcast into a play-by-play broadcast.
Play-by-play, yeah. I think that's probably illegal.
Yeah, we don't have express written consent from anybody.
It's a good game so far is all I can tell.
All right, well, here's to hoping we got more good games coming up this weekend. Thanks again for joining me, Kyle. That's all we have for the College Baseball Nation podcast. Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, subscribe to our podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and a whole lot of other places. If this is the first time you're listening to us, definitely go subscribe, leave a review and rating. It helps us get the word out. We're also on social media at CollegeBallNat. We're active on Instagram and Twitter and love interacting with fans. If you have a question, feel free to message us and we might answer it on the podcast. But until next week, have a great week, everybody.
Bye.